So yeah, a lot going on, but it's cool to hear. So what we're going to be talking about today, it's something that really I didn't know what I was going to be getting into, but all I can do is pray and read. I was a little bit short notice, but something that was coming up over and over again in my reading was this phrase that really stuck out to me, and it was preparing your heart to seek the Lord. And obviously, I think that's something that a lot of us have heard, you know, preparing your heart to seek the Lord. That's something that we should all probably do. But what does that really look like? What's that practically? What does that mean and how do we do it? And what does that look like in our lives? So that's what we're going to kind of be diving into today. I like to have a passage. I like to work through a passage, like 8 verses, get a list. It's just how my brain works. But that's not really how it broke down today. We're going to jump around a little bit to start before we settle in. And I still think that God will use it. I saw some really cool things. So preparing your heart to seek the Lord. That's my title, if you're a title person. And what we're going to start with is 3 key facts about preparing your heart to seek the Lord. 3 key facts about what this looks like. So I think really just keys to why this is so important in our lives. So to start with, what does it mean to prepare your heart to seek the Lord? When I first read that passage or that phrase, you think, well, okay, to be prepared is to be ready to do something. So you just need to be ready to seek the Lord. And I don't know that that's wrong, but, you know, oftentimes as you do, when you dive into the Word, you start to realize that, you know, it's a little bit deeper than that. You look up this Hebrew word, prepare, and what it defines out to mean is to prepare is to be fixed to or established. It's to be made firm. So to be prepared is to be established in a thing. You know, I build houses with my dad, and if you're going to build a house, the first thing you have to do is you have to pour the foundation. That's how you prepare to build the house. So to prepare is to be made established. And then to seek. So you're prepared to seek. To seek means to frequent, to resort to, or to inquire. So if you're to seek something, it's what you're going to keep coming back to. If you're frequenting something, it's your, not even your last resort, it's your first resort. So if you're going to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, if you are prepared to seek, it means you are established in the fact that that's what you're going to resort to. To be prepared, to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, it means that God's not the last resort, He's the first resort. It means that no matter what happens, good or bad or in between, you are always, your first response is to come right back to God and what His plan in it is. So we're going to kind of dive into a couple examples of that in Scripture, but man, I think there's something to that, to have your first response to be to turn around and look to God and His will in a situation. I think that's valuable. So it's being established and resorting to God, no matter what the situation is. So that phrase, preparing your heart to seek the Lord, is used 3 times explicitly in Scripture, and we're going to hit on those, and then we're going to kind of go through a list. So like I said, 3 key facts about preparing your heart to seek the Lord. Number 1, if you don't prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you will fall into sin. It's inevitable. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and I'll read verses 13 and 14. And as you guys are flipping there, this is the story of Rehoboam. It's King Solomon's son. And most of us know this as like, or at least me personally, I know it is kind of like the start of a dark time for the nation of Israel. The kingdom splits. Yes, sir. 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 13. I might not have said that, but that's what I meant to say. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14. So it's the reign of Rehoboam. And it's like the start of the quote-unquote dark ages. You know, these kings, one after the other, they're evil, they don't follow the will of God. But something that stuck out to me about Rehoboam this time is he kind of started well. You know, the story of him taking the wrong advice from the young men, but at the beginning of his reign, he did well, but he ended up falling into sin, and because of that, the kingdom splits. So I'll read this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, "So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess." Verse 14, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." He fell into sin. The kingdom was rent in two. He was an evil king, the Bible says, because of one reason. Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. If your first answer, if you aren't established in the fact that you're going to resort to God, if that's not where you're at, if you aren't prepared to seek the Lord, falling into sin is, it's inevitable. And, you know, sometimes you can maybe fight it off or put it off, but the end result is always going to be the same. It's always going to come back to the same thing. If you are relying on anything but God, you're going to fall into sin. It's inevitable. My first subpoint here, even if you are walking in the will of God, if you do not prepare your heart to seek the Lord, the end result will always be the same. 2 Chronicles 11:17, right next to where we're at, I'll read it. Talking about Rehoboam, it says, "So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For 3 years, they walked in the way of David and Solomon." So for the first 3 years of his reign, he was doing good things. You can go back and read the passage, but he's establishing the priests in their office. He's even listening to the prophets that are telling him what to do. He's following the will of the Lord for 3 years. He starts strong. So then why is he the king that the kingdom splits under? It's because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He started well. You know, often we start well. Maybe we get saved and we start coming to church. We stop going to the bar every weekend, whatever it is. You're not going to continue in that lifestyle of serving the Lord if your heart is not prepared to seek Him. If that's not what you're resorting to, then the end result will always be sin. My next subpoint, if you do not prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you will also pull those who do into sin with you. It's not just you that you're hurting if your priority isn't the Lord. 2 Chronicles 11:16, in the same chapter, it says, "And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord their God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers." So he was doing well. Like I just said, he was establishing the priests. He was following the Lord. So then the people of Israel, they start coming to Judah because they're like, well, he's serving God and that's what we want to do. If you're living your life for the Lord, people see that. They start to catch on to that. They want to follow the example that you're setting. That's something we're going to talk about in a little bit. But man, if you're living your life for the Lord, pay attention to the fact that people are following you. So if you fall, man, you might pull people down with you. If you haven't prepared your heart to seek the Lord, man, you're going to drag others down with you. And that's a heavy weight. I've done some things and paid the price for some of the mistakes I've made, but seeing my sin, my failure to seek the Lord bring others down, man, that's pretty terrible. And that's not a weight you want to carry. So if you think that, well, I'm not going to resort to God because it's just me and, you know, I've tried hard and it didn't really work out the way I wanted it to, so whatever. It's just me. I'll deal with, you know, my own consequences. That's not true. Your actions, they impact other people. I've heard it said that, you know, everybody has somebody that's looking up to them. Everybody has somebody that's following them. And I really think that that's true. You know, it's really easy to say that to husbands and fathers because your family's following you. But, you know, even the ladies, like young ladies, they look up to you. There's people that see the way that you're living. And if they see you living the way that they think they're supposed to, they start following you. And then you start to fall away because you didn't prepare your heart to seek the Lord, because you didn't resort to God. Man, that's a weight you don't want to carry. That's just another reason why this point of resorting to God, I think it's so key. So then my second key, the first key was, if you don't prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you will fall into sin. The second one was, even in times of failure, God will still continue to use you if you have prepared your heart to seek the Lord. And I really like this point. I'm excited to jump into it. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. Yes, ma'am. It is, even in times of failure, God will still continue to use you if you have prepared your heart to seek the Lord. And I will get into it. I have a lot I want to say. 2 Chronicles 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore it is wrath upon thee from the Lord, from before the Lord. Verse 3, nevertheless there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. So, again, without retelling the whole story, this King Jehoshaphat, and what he just did was, he basically, he went and helped King Ahab fight, and King Ahab was a pretty wicked guy. So he went out and he sinned, essentially. He went out and he fought with the wrong person. He made the wrong decision. But what I really love about this is that even in the fact that he sinned, even in the fact that he messed up, God says, well, there's still good in you. I still have a plan for you because you have prepared your heart to seek the Lord. Point A, if you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, falling into sin will not turn into living a lifestyle of sin. Falling into sin will not turn into living in sin. And there's a big difference there. You know, I would say that there's not a person in this room that's perfect. You know, we all sin probably on a daily basis. We all make mistakes. But if you've prepared your heart to seek the Lord, if that's what you're going to resort to, those small sins, those individual sins, they're not going to turn into just a life of sin. You're going to be able to grow away from it, and God's going to continue to use you. It's not going to pull you down to the depths of despair. Guys, I've had times in my life where the sins just started to stack up to a point where my entire life was just consumed by sin. And that was, quite frankly, just because I hadn't prepared my heart to seek the Lord. You know, if your first resort is not to turn to God in your time of need, then you're just, those little sins are going to add up and it's going to turn into a lifestyle of sin. But if you've prepared your heart, one sin doesn't turn into a lifestyle. A couple verses for that, just in the life of King Jehoshaphat, 11:16. Oh no, that's the wrong point. Chapter 19, verse 8 rather, I'm sorry. It says, moreover in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. So he's still doing the work of the Lord. God's still using him. Chapter 20, verse 3, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So there's just a couple verses to talk about the fact that God's still using Jehoshaphat. You know, he's still accomplishing his will through him. You continue to read through the life of Jehoshaphat. It didn't end with that sin. It didn't end with that mistake because he had set his heart to seek the Lord. If you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, the little sins don't have to turn into a lifestyle of sin. God still has a purpose and a plan for you. He's still going to use you. Moving on to my third point, my third key about preparing your heart to seek the Lord. If you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, His hand will always guide you. If you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, His hand will always guide you. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. It's just a couple books over. If you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, His hand will always guide you. Ezra chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Sorry, guys. Okay, so if you don't do it, if you don't prepare your heart, you will fall into sin. If you do it, God's going to use you even when you mess up. And then the third key, if you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, His hand will always guide you. Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to skip a couple of verses. It's just some genealogy stuff. But starting in verse 1, it says, now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sariah, and then jumping down to verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the first month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. In verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. If you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, His hand will always guide you. If you see in the end of verse 6, it says, the king granted him requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And then it says it again in verse 9. It says, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. We see that Ezra was a man who had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. It says it very clearly. And what's the direct result of that? God's hand is upon his life. If you take the steps to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, if you are always going to resort to God, no matter the circumstances, God's going to guide your life. My point here, my sub-point, in a world full of people that are just living without direction, you know, people don't have peace, people feel like they don't have purpose, they don't know why they're here, find your path in God's purpose for your life. Man, I am confident that God has a purpose for each and every person in the world, but specifically in this room, man. God has a plan for your life. But you're not going to find that guidance if you haven't prepared your heart to seek God. If you aren't seeking out God, He's not going to guide your steps. Psalm 119:105, you know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has a path for you and He wants to light it. But He's not going to guide you with His hand if you're not going to first seek Him. Man, I can't say this in a way that just articulates it the way I would like, but man, God wants to use you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, but He can't do anything with you if you're not going to seek Him. And we're going to get into it, but man, it's like that process of sanctification. You know, we are saved by grace through faith alone. There's nothing we can do. But that process of drawing closer to God, of being used by God, of accomplishing God's will for your life, man, that takes some work. And some of that work is just seeking God, getting in the Word for yourself, because God wants to use you. So those are my three keys, three key facts about preparing your heart to seek the Lord. If you don't, you will fall into sin. Even in times of failure, God will still continue to use you, if you have. And if you have, God's hand will always guide you. He's going to lead you on the path that He has set before you. So those are my three keys. And so that's great. Obviously, it's important to prepare your heart to serve the Lord. And it's life-changing, I would say. Absolutely. But how do we do that? Practically, what does that really look like in our lives? How do we accomplish that? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And this is where we're going to end, but there's a passage here I want to cover. So what does it look like? And what I've got another list. Six keys to prepare your heart to seek the Lord. And we're going to go through these pretty quick. But just six keys that are used to prepare your heart to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. It's a bit of a passage, but I want to get our feet under us to really hit on this. So, six keys to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, coming out of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. This is a part of the story of Asa, one of the kings. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without a true God, without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nations were destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these things in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, and they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil of which they had brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel shall be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. This passage just, I feel like God just gave this to me when I was really looking for how to wrap this topic up. This is exactly what it looks like to prepare your heart to seek the Lord. So six keys out of this passage. I don't have a lot from the first five verses, but what happens is this prophet, he comes and he meets Asa with a word from the Lord. And he tells them, you know, if you guys are going to seek God, you're going to find him. You know, God has a plan for you guys. He wants to use you, but you have to seek them. I think it's interesting that it talks about in verse 5, in those times, it talks about, so there was no God. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. But then for the nations that didn't, it said, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city. Does that not sound like the world that we live in today? I mean, it says there was no peace to him that went out. It says there was great vexations, there was wars. Man, it's like that last point I just said. We're just living in a world full of people without direction. People don't have peace. People don't have purpose. And it's because they're not finding it in the Lord. Man, if you're at a point in your life where you feel like you just don't have peace, like you're just living a life of worry and you don't really know what you're doing, man, find your peace and find your purpose by seeking the Lord. Man, God wants to use you. He wants to give you that peace, but he can't seek himself for you. So then my first point, my first key to prepare your heart is you have to work. Guys, it takes work to seek the Lord. Believe it or not, you can't put the Bible under your pillow at night and hope it just soaks in. It's not how it works. You gotta invest yourself in the Word of God. Picking up in verse 7, it says, "Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded, he took courage. It says, be strong. It says, your work shall be rewarded. Man, be prepared to work. I mean, it's as simple as that. A lot of people have the mindset of, you know, oh, I can go to church and I'll get saved and, you know, God's going to bless me and everything's going to be great and dandy. Well, God is going to bless you. But man, it's not, as Pastor Tyler Scholes used to say, it's not always sunshine and kittens, like kittens and rainbows. That's not what it is. Guys, it takes work. You know, God wants you to labor and he's going to bless you when you do. But sanctification, it doesn't just happen. You have to strive for it. So how are you working for it? You know, are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you getting involved in ministry? Guys, those blessings don't come if you're not going to work. So the first key is you have to work to prepare your heart to seek the Lord. And then my second thing, you have to have courage. In verse 8 it says, "And when Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage." Guys, you got to be courageous. What I thought was really cool about this, it says that he took courage. You go back to verse 7, the prophet tells him, "Be ye strong therefore." And then in verse 8, it says, he took courage. That's the exact same Hebrew word in both places. It tells him, be strong. And what's the first thing that he did? He heard the prophecy and he was made strong. It says in our English language, it says he took courage, but it's the same word. So then my point here is when God tells you what to do, do it. Man, God wants to accomplish something with your life, but that starts by just simple obedience. Whatever it is, guys, I think it's different for every person's life, but when God tells you to do something, you just gotta be faithful to get up and do it. And it starts simple. Get up and get in the Word. And if you're not a morning person, get in the Word before you go to bed. Man, if you're not spending time in the Word of God, how can you say that you're seeking the Lord? You're not. And that's something that's been convicting in my own life. So if God gives you a command, guys, just do it. If you feel God's calling you to something, to do something, get up and do it. And if you're telling me that God's not calling you to do anything, then I'm probably going to tell you you're not spending time in the Word of God, because there's too much to do for you to just sit on the sidelines. Man, just this month, CSA, VBS, World Cup outreach, camp, guys, there's so much work to be done. The kids ministry, every single Sunday. Guys, God wants you to do something. Find what He's calling you to do and do it. Be courageous. When God gives you a command, you gotta follow through. So that's the second key. First you have to work, then you have to have courage. The third thing is, you have to remove the idols from your life. And that's not groundbreaking, but man, is it not true? In verse 8 it says, He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So what's the first thing that he did? He took courage, he was strong, and then he removed the idols. Now, I know you guys, your church folk, you've heard 1,000 times, get the idols out of your life. I'm not going to do a lesson on idols, but in this context, in this case, what is an idol? Well, I'm going to say, go ahead, somebody was saying something. Absolutely. What I would say in this context, when we're talking about how preparing your heart to seek the Lord is being established and resorting to the Lord, an idol is something that you resort to before the Lord. Like Isley said, something you put above God. But in that time of distress or trouble, if God's not the first thing that you turn to, if there's another thing that you turn to, that thing's an idol. I think of in my own life, when I'm stressed out, if I'm, whatever the circumstances are, and I feel like I'm under a lot of stress, man, I just want to lay in bed. I just want to sleep. That's just my go-to. I love to sleep. And everybody needs rest, guys. You have to have it to live. But if your response in a hard time is to go and take a nap instead of praying to God, man, sleep can be an idol. And obviously that's kind of a little bit of a silly example, but like, if there's a thing, I'm not even gonna ask. If there's a thing in your life that you're turning to before you turn to God in a time of trouble, that thing is an idol. You know, maybe you just need to turn your brain off and scroll on social media, or, you know, maybe you just need to have a drink or whatever it is. Guys, you know, all things in moderation. I'm not going to do a message on that. But if that's the thing that you turn to before you turn to the Lord, it's an idol. And if you truly are going to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you've got to get the idols out of there. God has to be the first thing that you turn to. And that's, there's no new thing under the sun, guys. You've heard this, but it's true. If you've got something in your life that you're turning to before the Lord, it's an idol, and you've got to get it out. So those are the first three. You have to work. You have to have courage. You have to remove the idols from your life. And then number four, you have to be prepared for others to follow your lead. And this is something that we talked about a little bit earlier. But verse 9, it says, "And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and they out of Simeon, and they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him." So it's the same thing with King Rehoboam earlier. The people of Israel, which are actually the enemies of Judah, they see that, okay, God is with these people. That's where we want to be. When people see in your life that God is with you, that's the act that they want to follow. You know, not to put anybody on a pedestal, but like, I see a guy like Pastor Brian, or even like my dad, I've been blessed with the people in my life. I see guys that God is blessing, that God's using. Those are the guys that I want to follow. So whenever you're doing the work of the Lord, guys, people are going to start to follow you. And we saw King Rehoboam, he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And what happened? All those people that were following him, they fell into sin with him. But then we see the case of King Asa, who did prepare his heart. It says, they fell out in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And he led them in the will of the Lord. Guys, are you prepared for someone to follow you? And that, for some of us, that might sound like a tall task. But if you're really serious about preparing your heart to seek the Lord, man, if you don't know this about HBF, we make it pretty clear. God's will is discipleship. God wants you to raise up the next generation. He wants you to invest in the next man up. So if you are genuinely going to seek out God, if you are preparing your heart to seek Him, He's going to bring you a Timothy. He's going to bring you a young man to bring up in the ways of the Lord. You know, at the end of the day, everybody's responsible for their own decisions. I believe that. But man, if you have people following you, that's a lot of weight. Are you prepared for it? If you're preparing your heart to seek the Lord, prepare for people to follow your lead. I have written down here 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I'll flip over there. It's all the way across the lake. Somebody gets there, they can read it before me.
Followers of me, even as I am of Christ.
Yeah, and that's Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He tells them, follow me as I follow Christ. Guys, if you're genuinely following Christ, people are going to be following your lead. Are you ready for that? Paul saw that it was a reality. And none of us in here are Paul, but man, like I said earlier, somebody's looking up to you. You know, dads, your family's following you. Moms, your kids are looking up to you. You know, even the younger people in the room, you have peers that see you as the person that knows what's going on. Are you prepared to lead them? Guys, it's a real thing. If you're going to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you have to be prepared for others to follow your lead. Lead them in the way of the Lord. And then the fifth key to prepare your heart to seek the Lord is you have to be willing to make sacrifices. And we're about done. Verses 10 and 11, it says, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. So what's one of the first things they did is they made sacrifice. Now, obviously, we don't go out and kill 700 rams, but guys, God expects us to sacrifice. What do we have to sacrifice if we're not sacrificing cattle? Our time, our talent, and our treasure. Those are the three things that God wants from us. If you are going to prepare your heart to seek the Lord, it's going to take sacrifice. If you aren't willing to sacrifice your time, show up and help with VBS, help get ready for VBS, go to a World Cup outreach, show up to help clean the church when it's your turn. And that's something that I need to be better at. But if you aren't willing to give up your time, are you really going to say that you're prepared to seek the Lord? If you're not going to sacrifice your time, your talent, God has given a gift to every person. I believe that fully. Are you going to use the gifts that God's given you? And your treasure, man, I'm not going to even get into the whole topic of tithing, but if you aren't faithful to just give God the first fruits, it's all God's anyway. If you're not going to give God the first fruits, are you really seeking after Him? Do you have faith that He's in control? Man, if you're prepared, if you're preparing your heart to seek the Lord, it's going to take sacrifice. Sacrifice your time, your talent, and your treasure. That's what God wants from you. If He's really your first resort, if He's really what you're turning to, it's going to be shown in what you sacrifice for Him. And then my last point, and I'll be done. Point six, you have to be committed. The last key to prepare your heart to seek the Lord is you have to be committed. You might say, well, duh. Well, it's true. Guys, you have to be committed to this thing. It has to be real in your life. Verse 12, it says, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel shall be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Thank God we live in the age of grace. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and they had sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Guys, you can't be a one foot in and one foot out Christian if you've prepared your heart to seek the Lord. It can't be a weekend warrior show up on Sundays. Guys, this has to be a real thing in your life. You have to be both feet in. You have to be committed to God's will for your life. My last two subpoints. If you are committed to seeking the Lord, and this is out of verse 13, it says, if you are committed to seeking the Lord, you won't surround yourself with the world. And that's kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, if the only people you're ever spending time with are saved Christians and you never have the opportunity to witness to the lost world, man, we're called to go out and preach the gospel. So go out, but if your only influences are people of the world, you know, every weekend you're going hanging out with the guys at the bar, or, you know, you're going and golfing with your buddies and you know they're all going to be drinking, and, you know, you're going to talk a way you shouldn't, act a way you shouldn't. Guys, absolutely, we have to go out to the lost world to draw others to Christ. But if you're hanging out with the same crowd every single week, they've made it clear that they have no interest in the whole Jesus thing, and you still choose to just dump all your time into hanging out with this crowd, that's not God's will. There's a saying, you know, you're the product of the five people you spend the most time with. evaluate your influences. That's all I'll say on that. Man, we don't have to, we're not Islamic. We don't go out and kill people that disagree with us. But if you are surrounding yourself with people that just have opposing views to you, and all you're getting fed through your conversation, through the way that they're acting, is just sin, man, evaluate how you're spending your time. Sanctify yourselves. Guys, we got to be refreshed in the Word of the Lord. If you're spending all your time with people that are just want nothing to do with it, just evaluate that. And then my last point, and I really like ending on this. Committing your whole heart to seek the Lord will bring joy into your life because you will find Him. Verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them. They prepared their hearts to seek the Lord. They sought Him with their whole heart and their whole desire. And what happened? They found Him and they rejoiced. Go right back to verse 2 at the beginning of the passage. It says, the Lord is with you while you be with Him, and if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. Guys, there's nothing more joyous and fulfilling than finding God in your life. And you know, that's getting saved, but that's also day in and day out finding God's Word for you in His Word, drawing closer to the Lord. Man, I'm out of time, but man, I was in a pretty dark place for several years of my life. And it's because I didn't have joy in finding the Lord. I didn't prepare my heart to seek the Lord, so I was at a place in my life with no peace and no joy. And now that I've made that change in my life, now that I feel like I do prepare my heart to seek the Lord, I genuinely rejoice. Guys, I'm living my best life. And God's blessing me. But man, there's joy in finding God. It takes work, guys. You have to have courage. You have to remove the idols. Be prepared for others to follow. You have to make sacrifices. You have to be committed. Guys, it's hard. It's not easy. But there's joy that comes from it. God will bless you for preparing your heart to seek Him. One more verse and I'll close. Matthew 7:7. I could quote it, but I don't want to mess it up. Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Guys, I struggle to say things the way I want, but I think there's a lot there. And if you don't get anything else out of this, just make it a priority to seek out the Lord for this week, this month, man. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord, and He's going to bless you for it. There's joy. That's what I had today, and I hope it was a blessing to somebody, because I really enjoyed putting that together. So I'll pray, and we'll get out of here. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, God, again, I thank You for the day that You've given us today. I thank You for the opportunity to just come together and get into Your Word. God, I thank You for making it clear to us that we can prepare our hearts to seek You, and You will bless us for it. God, I thank You for laying that out clearly in Your Word. I just pray that You would be with Your people as we go out of here. I pray that You would be with Pastor Brian as he preaches. I pray that You would be with my dad as he's preaching. Lord, I just pray that You would use us to accomplish Your will this week. And so in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.